The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to it. Friday editions here at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark, and a destructive day weather-wise in the state of Nebraska, the eastern part of Nebraska. We have multiple tornado warnings and weather that have ripped through Lincoln, ripped through Omaha, and we are just digital right now. So when and if weather subsides, we'll get on the radio side of things. But quite frankly, thoughts and prayers right now to many in the east part of Lincoln with the tornado that kind of went through right, fellas, right around 2:50 to 3 o'clock. Connor, I showed up here. You were working with Will Wilson in the newsroom, and of course Jill St. James out on the front step of our station and studios here at 3800 Cornhusker Highway in Lincoln. And not shortly thereafter, tornado did touch down around 70th and Cornhusker Highway and has pushed its way northward, and that storm continued to grow and has made its way into Omaha. So what is usually and typically an amazing day to lead up for some hype and some hope for Nebraska football. You've seen a bunch of stuff on social media. We've retweeted as well of shots, Skycam shots, drone shots, and also individual video of just the tornado, the backdrop of a tornado with Memorial Stadium. Anthony Galvin from Huddle, his tweet went out about the tornado that was that eastern Cornhusker Highway in Lincoln tornado that's grown. But the last time there was this freaky and weird of weather, I think it was 2011 or 2013, where there was the flood, where the spring game actually got canceled.
That was middle school for me. So that would have been, about 2011.
Was it 2011?
About. And we had some of the flooding a little bit later, a couple of years, too, where that was 2015, 2016.
I heard about that one, yeah.
The 2016 floods, is that what it was? I should know that.
But. We are on the air in the Tri-Cities, so Cardi Hastings, Grand Island, appreciate you tuning us in, and I know there's been weather that's just moved from much of the state eastward, so we're thinking of all Nebraskans and those dealing with this. And just from an update here, this was sent a while back, but the Garner Industries business manufacturing facility, it's at 7201 North 98th Street, hit by this tornado. You had LFR units, you had Waverly, you have Raymond, you have Eagle rescue response there. There's been some footage with our media partners 1011 about that, of that roof collapse. You have multiple ambulance requested, multiple ambulance on site, and of course there was a slew of Lancaster County Sheriff's vehicles that raced through eastbound on Cornhusker to get to Garner Industries. Multiple injuries reported there. And the long and short is you are not going to get to Omaha. You're not going to get out to Waverly between 70th and 98th on Cornhusker Highway. And going that direction is going to cause continued issue. There's debris that's trying to be cleared. So please keep that in mind. Again, I know if you're making your way here for the spring game tomorrow, we're knocking on wood that Mother Nature behaves here, but we're again in a tornado watch till 9 this evening in the eastern part of the state. Mm-hmm. But Elijah, you live in the northeast part of town. We'll get to some football thoughts as well, but weather's the focal point right now. And if you live in this state or you have family in the state of Nebraska, you know how it can change in 15 minutes. Can be snowing one day and can be 80 and sunny the next. But from a inclement weather, I mean, this is the time of year for severe weather, and it's maybe just a touch early compared to when you get into June and July and for sure August.
Yeah, and Lincoln does sound like the tornadic activity that we got remained on the outskirts of town, obviously. You have some horrible stories coming from some places where this tornado did touch down, but Lincoln, at least the suburban areas, seem to have missed most of the storm right now. Our thoughts are with Omaha. As you kind of said, Schmitty, this tornado appears to have been on the ground upwards of 40 miles, made its way up into the Elkhorn and the Biddington area, so that West Omaha area is where our thoughts are right now. But more severe storm activity expected throughout the evening. We're going to try to keep it here, I believe. I'm not sure what that's going to mean for our guests. We're scheduled to have Jacob Bedella and him being up in the Omaha area. We'd hope he would be sheltering in place right now as opposed to hopping on a radio interview with us.
I did touch base with a cousin, a family member, Jeremy Jackson, my cousin. He lives up in Bennington with his lovely wife and little daughter, and they're in the basement right now. I checked on Junior and Mama and the pups in our household, and we're kind of in the southeast part of Lincoln. And took off, and, you know, the wife, 21 years together, we're high school sweethearts, she's wonderful, but she has a certain sense of humor, and she texted me, and this was a nice step for her. She's checking in to say, hey, are you guys doing okay up there?
Mm-hmm.
It's not normally her typical tone nor sense of humor, and it isn't a laughing matter, but that's just kind of her personality. Mm-hmm. And so, my family's good. I know that folks are concerned and worried, and it's all right to be doing that. And we invite you to hang out with us if you want, or if you're so inclined to check out KFOR, KFORnow.com. That coverage is anchored just across the window from us with severe weather coverage and updates, not only in what's going on in Lincoln coverage-wise, law enforcement, rescue, first response, but also what is going on in Omaha. They're keeping an eye on it there with what they're doing. So 489-1240 is the number to call in. In most instances, not today. We'll keep your thoughts going on the stream here at Hail Varsity YouTube channel. The Team Jack event canceled tonight.
Postponed.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Postponed. It will not be happening tonight. I pray that there's a chance that Katie and Amir and Nate Gary will get up to the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill at some point to help raise funds and support Team Jack. You know, the heart and soul that fight against pediatric brain cancer is very real, very touching, very personal to so many in the state of Nebraska. And, of course, those guys who were on the field with Jack's run. So it's postponed. There'll be more information to come forward from the great folks at Herdat at a later date. So we'll shoot Jacob a text and see if he's even in position to do a hit with us here in about 10 minutes from Hail Varsity and Herdat Sports.
For his safety, we'd hope he isn't. Like, well, you would, now's the time, especially for the city of Omaha, to be sheltering in place.
Sure, absolutely.
It's a scary storm.
And in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll check in with the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the Professor Bill Dolman. Bill Dolman may have his Lieutenant Dan bandana on and out, trying to take footage of severe weather. He may go storm chaser mode, not for sure. Clausburn, he's imaginary, wears red. He'll be with us at 5:40. So this is an absolutely interesting backdrop to the day tomorrow, where there's a lot to get into with Nebraska football. The storylines, guys, of Nebraska, the storyline today, though, severe weather. It's interesting.
It's I don't even it's football so back burner right now.
Completely.
I know, right? It's like I'm trying to think of anything to say regarding football, and there's just nothing to say on a day like today. These scary storms coming through, more on the way. So we get a light flicker here in the studios.
We've already had that happen once today. We've gone to the generator once today.
The footage of this tornado that started in Lincoln and it's made its way east, the backdrop of a tornado with Memorial Stadium's nuts.
It's a lot of the footage is that we've seen on Twitter or on Facebook or wherever, or that we've even taken here, has been unbelievable. And, I mean, there's the video of it crossing over I-80 earlier today. Obviously, a very dangerous situation out there. I don't obviously have the information on whether or not you can go on I-80. I imagine you cannot. But just kind of a wild day. For me personally, I've never seen a tornado in person in my life, so that happened for the first time today. But hoping that, you know, where it hit, everybody's all right. We saw a lot of help, as you said earlier, Schmitty, about the sheriff's office zooming towards where the tornado hit earlier, and that everybody's doing fine there, and that everybody in the Omaha metro area as well is going to be all right, hopefully, going forward, too, because those storms are reaching up there.
And some early reports, not official just yet, but that this storm system has passed its way through West Omaha, and there may be some search and rescue efforts going down in West Omaha right now. So scary moments for the city of Omaha.
We had a faithful listener, Stephen, reach out earlier, and Stephen listens to us, checks us in the stream, and also contributes, and he shot a still shot from where he works, just north of 70th and Cornhusker, where that tornado went through. And he kind of shot from just outside of where he was positioned with the rainfall. So we are thinking of Stephen and those around the 70th and Cornhusker region in Lincoln. Can email the show, chris@halevarsity.com, and we'll give a quick shout-out to our starting five in the stream. Can always like and subscribe to the Hale Varsity YouTube channel. And your grandpa is in. Eat Beef is here. Patrick's checked in. Brandon is in. Eric here. Active Duty Husker says aloha. Active Duty Husker, thank you for your service. And we also have the other Elijah. Elijah is trying to recite the show open. Brennan from the Black Hills is doing well. Good to have you checking in, Brennan. Tim is here. KG says, what's up? Tuck is here. And Scott says, what's up? And, yep, I think Connor is doing the announcing for the Salt Dogs. He is. That starts for Connor on the 29th. Justin says, howdy. Skurs Rule. And Skurs Rule took the pick, and we retweeted that of the stadium and the tornado in between. Said it was very, very scary. And absolutely, it looked, any tornado looks a little too close as Connor and I are out on the observation deck here at the station.
That's one thing to call the front porch.
Well, right.
I mean, it was for a good 15 minutes there.
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts, and it's just off to the east. And as I was stopping to get a cup of coffee, these clouds that formed eventually east for the tornado, I mean, they looked low, they looked dark, they looked scary, they were moving weird. And I had parked to run in and get a cup of coffee, and I ran back out, and I'm like, all right, this light better turn green pretty quick as you're, you know, waiting at the intersection of 33rd and Cornhusker to go eastbound. And this was at 2:30-ish or so, and you know, so we're thinking of many out there right now that have had to deal with this.
And I've sent you guys some pictures of some photos that have come out near the Elkhorn area, and it looks like a bomb has gone off.
Yeah, a lot of bad damage.
I'm not sure what else to say about that. It is a scary, scary scene up for those in West Omaha. So thinking of them, I guess West Omaha and west of Omaha, I should say. Thinking of them right now, hoping all are okay. Part of our listening area. Scary to see. Just
yeah, and the photos are gruesome, with just trees ripped down and shredded.
Billboards just knocked over.
Buildings.
Yeah.
And we are thinking of many there. So we'll keep rolling forward, and I'll shoot a text out and get. Listen, if you want to give us some insider input via Twitter or on the Hail Varsity YouTube stream, how you're doing, where you're located, please do so. Scott saying prayers to you all. And Scott, we appreciate the sentiments. Brian, part of the Boulder Peace Treaty, asking how many games they get in for the Iowa series this weekend. That's a great question with more weather.
Well, this was before we got on here, but according to somebody who works in the athletic department, that the game tonight is still scheduled to go on. Okay. I don't know how accurate that's going to be in the next 10 minutes.
And Elijah, show that footage on the screen
here. I can try to get it on the stream. This is from the area just outside Bennington and Elkhorn. It's going to be kind of ghetto on the phone, but it is just an massive
tornado. That looks like Hollywood produced that video. And what I mean by that looks like movie effect tornadoes.
Because yesterday, a lot of the meteorologists were saying it's going to be clocking in at an EF2. And now maybe that's what it was when it hit in Lincoln, but obviously it's been gaining some downhill steam on its way up to Omaha. So hopefully everybody's all right there. That is insane footage.
We are not able to play commercials, correct?
Oh yeah, we've kind of gone over our commercial. We can play it on the stream. We won't go out over the air.
Okay.
If we'd like to step aside.
I'm just thinking for our friends out in Kearney Hastings, Grand Island. So, hey, we missed a break. Forgive us there. But that is what's happening. And you have Montana Husker fan checking in. Holy S, it looks insane. Hope people are okay. And that is absolutely what we're thinking of, folks' safety and health. You have Brian checking in. We just had a couple of squalls blow through. His farm west of Fairbury has been through a tornado 20 years ago and had 110-mile-per-hour straight winds 5 years ago. Very nerve-wracking experience. You guys ever? Connor, you haven't.
No.
You've not seen one. You've never been through severe weather.
I mean, we've had plenty of warnings back in Illinois. I just live so close to Lake Michigan that any tornado threat is kind of evaded by the time it gets to us. But we've had the whole, you know, get in the basement, you know, take shelter type thing. Mm-hmm. But we've never, fortunately, been hit by a tornado. We just don't live far enough inland to do that. But this is definitely kind of a new experience for me because of there's actually one and it's causing damage. So navigating this is a little bit interesting, but it's just kind of a crazy sequence of events.
Have you ever been through anything crazy?
Well, the thought my mind goes to on a day like today, especially now seeing this footage coming out of the Western Omaha area, is Hallam. Like, and I hate to go back to
that,
a devastating storm. I was actually out camping in the area around Hallam on that night. So some scary, what do you call them? Flashes of memories from that, being 5 years old at the time, out camping. Kind of remember that, but that's where your mind goes when you see some of this footage coming out of Elkhorn.
We're back now as we have been put back on the airwaves. I can't thank Jeff Motes and Rob Kelly enough.
Along with Will Wilson as well.
And Will Wilson and their coverage. And we'll bring Motzi in here now as we're back on air. Motzi, just pop in real quick. And you've been a veteran of severe weather for 2 decades with the radio, my friend. First and foremost, thanks for your service today to the community of Lincoln and Eastern Nebraska. What mic are you?
There we go. Thank you.
But just phenomenal and really surreal to see that tornado east on Cornhusker and then what's phenomenal, not in a good way, but just what it's grown to and then the footage we've just seen in Elkhorn.
Yeah, and I have not had a chance. I apologize. We did see what Bill Ramby at KETV was doing at one point where there was a video clip that Rob Kelly shared with us and that's a wide monster tornado. That's every bit of a mile. That's a mile wide tornado. I'm in awe. I I am in awe of just seeing that. And, well, to go back here, and I feel for the folks up in Omaha right now, and Omaha is no stranger to catastrophic tornadoes. Mm. If you know the history of the 1975 tornado that May 6th will be 49 years since that hit, the 1913 Easter Sunday tornado that is the deadliest tornado on record in the state of Nebraska, by the way. But you feel for folks today and what they went through. And this thing started here in Lincoln. Now think about that, this tornado. It was right outside the city limits of Lincoln. And at one point, when we first got the report from people here in the building that there's a tornado on the ground in northeast Lincoln, my heart sank because I live in that part of town. You do too, Elijah. And I got kind of sick to my stomach. And I'm thinking, okay, is my wife downstairs? Is my kid either at school or is he at home downstairs? My mom, who still lives out in northeast Lincoln, is she taking shelter? You know, you begin to worry. And, you know, while you're doing your job, you got to find a way to have a calm demeanor. There may have been some times this afternoon with our coverage where I sound maybe a little bit rushed or amped up because of what was going on. It's like, oh, wow, we got a tornado on the ground. You know, that's what you're thinking. But at the same time, you got to be composed and keep people relaxed and keep them comforted. We don't know very much right now other than the Garner Industries building at 98th and Highway 6 here in Lincoln got hit. We understand it's a building collapse. We don't know of any injuries officially yet. There's been speculation there may have been. We have not had confirmation yet from law enforcement officials or emergency management from that standpoint. And then we had other reports of tornadoes on the ground. We don't know if there was just one or if there were more. We do know the one that touched down on the northeastern corner of Lincoln outside the city limits is the one that grew and grew and got bigger and bigger and went right through the north and west sides of Omaha. And you feel for those folks up there around Elkhorn and Bennington. The Blair area, I think, was in the path at last check. It was going to go to Missouri Valley, Iowa, in that area maybe. We'll see. But it's just incredible what Mother Nature can do. And here we are. It's a Friday afternoon, and a lot of us are thinking about the spring game or weekend activities and, you know, getting time to relax after a long week of work. And now for us, you know, we keep working. I've been here in the building since about 5 this morning, a little bit after 5 or whatever it was I got here, and then, you know, left to go downtown this morning and come back. And I've been here since I was going to go home. Now, listen to this, guys. I was going to go home and go get a quick lunch, quick bite to eat for lunch, and come back. This thing ramped up like that, and it got going
really fast.
And it took off. And credit to the Weather Service. They did a terrific job today in forecasting this, what's turned out to be an outbreak.
Yeah, it is, and you've got several storm chasers that have been on the scene, and that is just fascinating.
Well, and now they've issued a tornado warning for Omaha, Council Bluffs, Bellevue, so Douglas, Sarpy, and Pottawatomie counties in Iowa. The main city of Omaha is under a tornado warning now until 5:15. And again, I go back to, you know, a lot of folks in Omaha that may listen that were up there in 1975. Remember 1975, what happened up there?
Well, Red Wine 65 in the stream chimes in. He was 3 blocks from the 75 tornado.
Yeah.
With shingles raining on him.
And that's one thing here about what we experienced in Lincoln today. Lucky is almost the word I'm feeling.
We are
Lincoln
very
because
lucky
of how it avoided the residential areas.
Because we thought at one point, Rob Kelly and I thought, It looked like maybe 56th, 70th, and Adams area. Maybe, but the depth perception from where we're at looking east, because Cornhusker Highway goes in a diagonal, southwest to northeast.
And it kind of appears to have started in an area behind that Walmart on 84th Street.
And there are some homes over there.
Yeah, and there are some homes over there and kind of moved up towards
friend Kevin Suits, his neighbor, had a shot, and we retweeted on our social media outlets. We're talking, a bad punt from his back patio.
Yeah.
Suits his neighbor.
Yeah. And, you know, Suits is directly east of me about a mile or two from where I live. And so, it's just baffling. You know, and you brought up Hallam. Next month will mark 20 years since Hallam. And I was on the air that night for that. That was 5.5 hours of storm coverage with 2 5-minute breaks that I took in that amount of time. I got into the building over in a former Radio Life at like 6 that night. I didn't leave the building until 12:30 in the morning. We were on the air constantly because Hallam was devastating. That was the widest tornado ever recorded on the face of the earth until 9 years later when a 2.6-mile-wide, a tenth of a mile wide bigger tornado hit El Reno, Oklahoma, which is in the western suburbs of Oklahoma City. So I know we preempted a lot of programming today, fellas, and I know we didn't want to preempt you guys. And
I know weather and health and safety are way more important
But at the same time, we have other people along this network of stations that are being impacted by this weather today. Mm-hmm, it's not just Lincoln. It's not just Omaha. It's Columbus. It's further west, you know, where they've had other tornadoes and damage today, too. So this is a major outbreak, and this is something that we'll be working on quite a bit here as we go through the weekend and then at early Monday morning as well. But, you know, I can tell you this. By the way, I don't know if you guys got the email. The Husker softball game's been pushed back to 6 o'clock at Bullen Stadium with Northwestern because of the weather. There's still some rain moving through, albeit it's not severe, but still rain, and you could have lightning. So that's why they pushed it back. But to you guys behind the scenes today, thank you so much for being supportive and helping out, getting that footage. I know I was sitting there in our control room next door, and I was trying to get stuff onto social media. And then things just ramped up with all the reports of the tornado, and it's like, I can't keep up with it. So we just went into a situation where we're just telling people what we know.
Sure, just reporting.
And we're just reporting.
Being safe.
That's all we're doing.
And,
so,
and some of these areas, were pictures that we're getting out of Elkhorn, it looks like a war zone.
I need to take a look at.
There we have a residential area.
Oh, my gosh.
That has just been
flattened, wiped out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, a terrifying look. There's more videos of this tornado, and it is absolutely massive.
You know, and this could potentially, if once they do their investigation, the Weather Service, this potentially could leapfrog in terms of devastation the tornado of 75. Now, that was the costliest storm in terms of tornado and property damage in United States history for a while. That's how bad that thing was up there 49 years ago. But we'll see, and we'll follow up and do the best we can to see if there's been any injuries, loss of life. We hope not. We hope the best for people up there. This is a very dangerous situation. I would imagine that Governor Jim Pillen may issue a state of emergency for that area at some point. We have not had anything official yet come down from the governor's office, but that's something that they'll probably, depending on how serious it is up there in Omaha, for sure, they'll get to it.
It looks it. Motsi, go home to your family, check in. Appreciate you, bro.
You bet. Good Thank work. You, fellas.
Good
Thank
coverage.
You.
Thank you, Motsi.
Jeff Motes from the KFOR newsroom, news director and weather aficionado extraordinaire, had you covered here in Lincoln and across the network. And your grandpa chimes in on the stream, having experienced the 1980 Grand Island tornadoes, huddled in the basement with my family. He sends his condolences and concerns our way, and that's something that we're focusing in on. We may shift a little bit as the show proceeds to some storylines in spring football, but we'll take more of your comments and thoughts moving forward on the stream. Hail Varsity YouTube channel, like and subscribe there. Just a reminder, the Team Jack event at Herdat Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista postponed for another date. And here's Steven. I was telling you about Steven earlier, our listener, longtime listener of Hail Varsity Radio. He works at 70th and Cornhusker in Lincoln. And Steven chimes in on the stream. Tornado came together and became stronger just across 70th Street from my work. It sat in one area and just spun and spun and spun. And that storm has continued to grow and move through the Omaha area. Footage from Elijah's phone as he's getting sent. I mean, it absolutely looks flattened, this this area in Elkhorn, the footage we're getting from. Jacob Bedilla is okay. Hale is where he's at. And we'll try and reach out to him here about 40 past, get his thoughts on some spring football and the portal, where you have all three T-Birds go elsewhere. But we're still going to keep an eye and ear on weather as well.
It just feels so difficult to try to turn this back to Husker sports on a day like today, when you're seeing footage from your friends and your family and your neighbors of just the destruction within the state of Nebraska. It's a tough day.
It is.
It's a very, very tough day, and it's hard to say much else besides just the horrifying nature.
Well, you said it earlier. We're very lucky here. I mean, we were able to literally watch the tornado hit the ground that is currently on the same trajectory as, or is the same one in Omaha, from, I don't know, probably a 5-minute drive away, and we were totally fine. So I think that is kind of a big thing for at least us to kind of take away from today. It's just thankfully we were able to avoid it, but we hope that everybody else who didn't get to avoid it is safe and sound, and hopefully they don't really lose too much.
Days like today are just kind of the reminder of how powerless
life
we truthfully
life.
Are.
Mm-hmm.
And how powerless we truthfully are. Or we truthfully are in moments like these whenever you have severe weather coming through. Man, it's terrifying.
We'll have more thoughts, more updates. We'll take more of your comments in the stream. Hail Varsity YouTube channel, 489-1240 or 800-825-5865. As you can join us on the phone lines as well. And if you experienced anything with this storm, these tornadoes that have come through the eastern part of Nebraska, and we're thinking about everybody out there, and hope you're safe and sound and family's okay. Quick timeout. We'll be back. It's Hail Varsity, and we're powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. And weather has been the topic today, as we've had severe weather coverage. Started out digitally on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. We're back across parts of the Hail Varsity Radio Network again. Prayers and thoughts with the good folks at Garner Industries, east of Lincoln, around 70th and Cornhusker Highway, where Garner Industries took a major hit from that tornado. You have footage and still shots coming in from some residential regions in Elkhorn, and more storms could pop up, may pop up. Tornado watch in effect till 9 tonight for much of eastern Nebraska. We say hi to Jacob Padilla from Hail Varsity and Herd at Sports. Jacob, thank you for jumping in the stream and on air with us. You appear to be safe, and kind of give us just a quick update with where you're at and how you're dealing with the severe weather, the tornadic activity, because I know you're up in Omaha.
Yeah, I'm in the kind of borderline between Bellevue, Ralston, Omaha, Millard kind of area, just in the middle of all that. So we're getting pretty heavy rain and some hail right now. I know they just kind of extended a tornado warning out to 515 in this area. Haven't seen anything in our area yet, although this second one coming up from the south looks like we could be somewhat impacted by that, depending on what happens there. So it's kind of continuing to monitor here. I'm on a third floor apartment, so haven't had a need to evacuate at all anywhere at this point, but we'll have to see how that goes. Yeah, just kind of been following along with all the stuff happening out there in Elkhorn, north of Bennington area. Just kind of hoping that it doesn't get any worse at this point.
Totally agree with you on that. You've got shelter, I assume you can get to. Is there a basement region for your apartment?
Yeah, we can go down. We'll be all right.
Okay.
It's Jacob Padilla with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Jacob, it's hard to turn back to sports on a day like today. That's kind of where I'm going. I guess we're just speculating here, but is the spring game in danger tomorrow with just the horrible weather news we've seen today? A lot of people within the state of Nebraska having lost a home, friends and family have lost a home, cleanup efforts will be underway, I'm sure. Do you look at the spring game tomorrow as being at risk of being played?
I guess I don't. I don't really know the damage and quite what's been done down there. Obviously, need to clear up transportation and all that. Depending on how quickly this kind of resolves goes through, I think they'll probably go ahead as planned. But that depends on, again, what kind of damage get done, and I guess how the front goes through. I know, like, the entire weekend weather is not supposed to be great. That was already something I know people are kind of having their eye on even before it kind of turned into what we're getting today. So something to certainly keep an eye on. But I think if it just kind of blows through here and we can take care of whatever needs to be taken care of tonight, they'll be okay. But that's certainly a possibility if things get worse.
Jacob, I want to go to Portal real quick and just get away from the weather for 2 seconds. And while we have you here for the next couple of minutes and thinking about you and all the folks in Omaha and want you to be safe, the Portal news, you have 3 Bell West T-Birds found new homes and wanted to get your reaction there. With William Kyle off to UCLA, Chucky Hepburn to Louisville, and, of course, Frankie Fiddler off to Michigan State. What do you think of their landing spots?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting how this all plays out and how quickly things can move, where if maybe a school misses out on somebody they were going hard for, how quickly they can pivot. And someone like UCLA kind of swooping in for William Kyle wasn't necessarily on the initial list, wasn't one that he had the visits kind of pre-scheduled that we already heard about. But I guess with the way things played out, they kind of targeted him and honed in on him as a priority and made that kind of big push for him. And it obviously landed for him to commit there. So it'd be interesting to see him. And then St. Thomas also at USC coming back, being in the Big Ten next season. And obviously, like you said, Frankie Fiddler at Michigan State as well. And I'm not surprised by that. When I had heard that he really enjoyed the visit up there, kind of you asked me about the Chucky Frankie team up thing last mm-hmm. week. And, like I said, I don't think that was something they talked about for sure, but I don't think it was like, all right, let's do this. It was just kind of like, if it happens, mm-hmm. so be it. But, I think that's pretty good fit for him. Tom Izzo has kind of taken transfer sparingly, just really plugged him into a hole as opposed to hitting the portal hard every season. So must have seen something there that could be a really good fit with what they've got coming back around him and what they're trying to build for next season. And he's got some veteran guys around him that he can just go out there and kind of fill that scoring hole on the wing there. We've seen a guy like Joey Hauser have a really good career up there. Not the same player exactly. Joey's a little bit bigger, a little bit more of a post than Frankie is, but similar kind of skilled forward type. So I think that's pretty good landing spot for him. And obviously, Michigan State isn't what they haven't been what they once were, but it's still a huge name in college basketball. And for kids from Omaha to kind of have that opportunity after seemingly enjoying what he found there, I'm sure that was really appealing to him and his family. And then Chucky, with the Louisville deal, you've got Pat Kelsey taking over there, trying to kind of revitalize that program. And obviously, again, another huge name in college basketball, one that's been among the worst high major teams in the country the last few years. So you need guys that can come in and stabilize things, can kind of be that transition class that gets them back to where they want to go. And Chucky's a guy that's played a lot of basketball, really good defender, obviously, an experienced floor general. I'll be curious to see kind of what this season looks like for him offensively, because at Wisconsin, thing, it never really seemed to click. Like he'd succeed in one area and struggle in others, and then kind of flip it the next year. So I'll be curious to see just kind of how he slots into Kelsey's offense and what they're going to ask of him, and that obviously the pieces they put around him, how all those fit together. But it's a guy that Kelsey took a look at the landscape and was like, hey, we need an experienced point guard. He's one that's played at the highest level of the sport in the Big Ten, and made a push for him. And Chucky was obviously kind of interested in what Kelsey was selling.
Jacob, we're up against a hard break here. Do you mind if we keep you for another couple minutes in this? I need to ask you about Creighton, Nebraska, and how much work they still need to do in the transfer portal.
No, I'm good.
All right, we'll have more with Jacob Padilla here on Hail Varsity Radio. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. We'll have some thoughts on the NFL draft here next hour. A couple of shocks, surprise-wise, with picks. We'll also get you set for the spring game with some storylines in hour two. Bill Dolman going to be with us. But Jacob Padilla talking some hoops and giving us an update weather-wise from where he's located in Omaha. Hail Varsity Hour 1 continues. We're powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour, it's Hail Varsity powered by Cornhead Lager. Jacob Padilla with us. And Elijah, you've got an update here out of Omaha, the Elkhorn region.
Yeah, according to scanner traffic, 30 to 40 houses gone, and the police on the ground are calling for mass casualty resources in that area.
So, again, prayers with our friends in Elkhorn with this tornado, this storm, this event that has gone through eastern Nebraska in Lincoln.
Schmidt, we also have some more breaking news here. Back to basketball, this up on Jacob Bedilla's Twitter. Trey Alexander with some news, Jacob.
Yep, he has declared for the NBA draft. No surprise there. The deadline was tomorrow. I think everybody was kind of expecting this. Obviously, he has up until the early withdrawal deadline to change his mind on that. But I would be surprised at this point.
Baseball tonight at Haymarket has been delayed. The start time for the first game of the Iowa-Nebraska series delayed. Jacob, we're running up against it. Thanks again for giving us some of your time. Thought on Creighton and Nebraska as far as what could be next for them for Coach Mack and Coach Hoiberg portal-wise in the roster construction.
Yeah, for Creighton, the big deal, the next big deal is Ryan Kalkbrenner and what he decides. That's kind of the big one. It kind of seemed like things were shifting more towards him potentially being back. Obviously, you can't ever assume anything now with the way the portal operates and the way teams operate in the portal, even before players have entered the portal. This next week is kind of the final, May 1st is the deadline to enter the portal for basically everybody at this point, even grad transfers. So you have up until that date to hop in if you want to play next season. So we'll have to see kind of what happens there. If they bring him back, obviously they've already added Jemiah Neal on the wing. We learned that yesterday. He's an athletic wing that can provide some defensive versatility, kind of replace Baylor Shireman, not skill for skill, but just in terms of spot in the lineup. We've seen them go after a lot of backcourt help. I think we're expecting Steven Ashworth back. We're expecting Trey Alexander probably not back, like I said. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're looking for another playmaker in the backcourt to kind of lessen the pressure on the freshman coming in to be an impact guys right away. Although I think Larry Johnson is a guy that could play right away and they would have no problems if he picks things up. So that's kind of where we're looking at next for Creighton is, all right, figure out the Kalkbrenner situation and what they're doing there, and then potentially adding a little bit more firepower in the backcourt. As for Nebraska, they gotta fill out the roster still. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've seen them kind of miss on some guys that they've made pushes for recently. So, again, as this kind of last wave of transfers enter the portal, I'm sure we'll see some new targets pop up. And we'll have to see kind of this next wave. All right, who do they get in for visits? Obviously, they've already done some good work to kind of round out the rotation, but I think you're still hoping for a difference maker or two to go with what you've got coming back and what you've already added in terms of role players. So we'll see kind of what new names pop up on their radar here as the final wave of transfers enter the portal.
And Jacob, we're running up against it here. I think you could also make the argument that Rink Mast coming back could be bigger than any portal addition that currently remains in the portal. We don't have enough time for you to speak on that, but I think that should be noted.
We'll see if he is back or not. Jacob, you be safe and take care, and we'll see you, okay?
Sounds good. New siren going off.
Oh, man. Be safe. Jacob Adilla up in Omaha. Hour two on the way with Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.
He's the pride of Fairbury, an average Joe. Bill Dolman, the professor.
I had a 6 ACT in 1967. One time I got an A and my grandma beat me for cheating.
Now with Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark, Bill Dolman, pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. The professor is with us, and it has been a hell of a day with inclement weather and tornadic activity. We have an update for our friends at Garner Industries and the tornado that it hit right around 3 o'clock east of Lincoln on 70th and Cornhusker, just north of there. And a report we're getting from our media partner, 1011, is that three injured.
Three injuries have been reported.
Reported from Garner Industries. We know more storms rolling through the Midtown region of Omaha. We know that 30 to 40 homes dismantled in Elkhorn, and we are praying for folks up there. We bring in Bill Dolman. Bill, you've been around Nebraska a long time. You've seen your fair share of storms. Growing up in the Fairbury region, we had a few folks that also grew up in Fairbury chime in on the stream here, but just a weird day. I mean, I was thinking back that you had the other great flood canceled Nebraska's spring game back in 2011, I believe, but it's just, this was predicted, but it actually happened, and it is happening today.
And an even greater force than what had been predicted. It's stunning to see some of the videos that are out there today. It looks like movie generated, you know, maybe AI generated. Some of the videos of the folks took on I-80 as the storms made their way from North Lincoln up the interstate, and people just sitting in their cars under overpasses, trying to wait things out because they're so vulnerable out there. And then to see those storms, what looked just to be, maybe the perception is different, but it looked like they're just a few hundred yards away and you're just vulnerable. But to get the videos like that and for people to see, you know, I'm downtown Lincoln and went to lunch and walking back, all of a sudden the winds picked up. It's kind of hauntingly. Now, we weren't really just had heavy rain downtown. So when I turned on the show and I heard that it was, you know, 70th and Cornhusker Highway in Lincoln, it's amazing how different it can be just a mile or so, a couple of miles away from where you are. And I saw your video outside the KFOR news area. Just amazing video by so many. The only thing I can really compare to it for myself, I was doing a football game in West Texas about 5-6 years ago. And threatening skies all day, and they elected to try and play the game. And you could see the funnel clouds, much like what you posted earlier, in the distance and then getting closer and closer and closer, and the winds coming through and the rain. And finally, they ended up canceling the game that night. But amazing stuff, devastating stuff. And you realize, you know, how insignificant things are at a time like this. I do want to say this kind of about the business. And you know, we live in an era when there are so many options for media and choices for media and entertainment, and the ability to tune out things that you may not want to hear, may not want to know about, just focus on you know, niche things. But there still is a need for local journalism, local radio, local television to bring the immediacy of what's happening in a community. In the way that Jeff Motes and you guys have done, the folks at Channel 10 have done today, KLKN. You know, you can be in a big metropolitan market and may not be, you know, have almost a tangible touch with the community when you're in the media. When you're in Denver, as I've been, Houston, as I've been, major markets and major cities. But when you're in a community like Lincoln and Omaha and the state of Nebraska, the immediacy that people have to their media members and the trust that they put in the voices of you and Jeff Motes and others, it is so important that people have that resource to go to tell them what is happening in the moment, to take the earbuds out and turn it on old-fashioned AM radio, right? And so I can't stress that enough, how important it is that, you know, you don't lose track of those community resources like local radio and television. And, you know, Jeff and you and Elijah, you know, Connor's been around Lincoln now for a long time. You know, I can remember the days when Dale Johnson was in that newsroom and Ward Jacobson and Scott Young and people in KFOR. And, you know, and you've got competition across town and they have their audiences too. But people trust the news, the weather, the sports, their community to your voices. Mm-hmm. And it still matters. And so good on you guys to report what's happening in Omaha, to give people in South Lincoln and downtown Lincoln an understanding of what's happening in North and Northeast Lincoln, and the service that, you know, radio provides, the oldest really form of communication, you know, the modern era, it's still a big deal. And I hope people can appreciate what the job you all have done. And sometimes you got to put on a different hat. This is a fun sports show. And I can remember doing Lincoln Salt Dogs games. And we'd have bad weather in the area, and being on the air with KFOR, and Dale Johnson would say, call up and say, what's going on down there? You mm-hmm. know, and you become a voice of Lincoln in another way, and you're part of a community. So I hope people appreciate that, and we'll continue to rely on you guys and Jeff and his staff for everything that they need to know, because I know that you guys and will do everything you can to get them what they need.
And one more report to make along those lines, Bill, some early preliminary data coming in. This is all radar indicated, so it should be noted this is not stuff that has been on the ground, but the radar has indicated that the rotational velocity of the tornado that just hit both Elkhorn and Gretna had a rotational speed of 112, which would put it among the top 20 rotational velocities all time recorded among tornadoes in the United States. For what it's worth, a number above 70 gets it the catastrophic tag. Again, this one at 112. So it may have just been an absolutely catastrophic tornado of historical proportions that we have seen in the Omaha area today. That is very preliminary reports. That comes from radar. So that is not as infallible as actually data on the ground while this tornado was touched down. But some early reports indicating that this tornado may have been one of the strongest we've seen, not only in Nebraska history, but in the country's history. I don't want to be too dramatic with that because that is still just preliminary reports, but that is the latest that we're seeing from some National Weather Services.
Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, Pride of Fairbury, the professor, Tail Varsity Radio. Bill, to shift a little bit from the news of the day, and that's been tornadoes and the weather, and thank you for the kind words about radio and coverage and Motsi's incredible. Football tomorrow, 11 o'clock, and let's go there for a moment. And, you know, you kind of run down some of the storylines. Yes, the quarterbacks. Yes, the recruiting impact, your favorite topic, recruiting. Turnovers, can you take care of the ball compared to a year ago? What's the defense look like? But I really like what Matt Rhule laid out yesterday. And that was the Tuesday and Thursday Huskers. He loved coaching. And he loved his kids, but the difference between Tuesday, Thursday, and then that Saturday spotlight, he is all about preparation for this football team in those moments, though that fourth quarter DNA winning those close ball games, right? You're chasing three. Well, how do these guys, young guys, talented guys, guys that need to log more snaps, handle the moment tomorrow in front of 60,000?
But I think one of the significant things about things being better on Saturdays this year as opposed to last year, and even, you know, maybe during the course of this spring ball when they've had some scrimmages, look, Nebraska's depth is better. You know, remember last year, the Minnesota game, we all kind of marveled and thought this is going to be a season-long theme. That defense played, what, 25 guys in week one and another 23 defensively in week two. Well, that's a lot of depth. That's a lot of players. That's keeping a lot of players fresh. But it was still a young team, and maybe not everybody that was getting those snaps was seasoned enough and experienced enough to make that they were, you know, the top 11 and the second 11 were similar. Maybe there was a difference. You were just getting fresh bodies in there. Now you've got guys who have experience. So if on Saturday, maybe 1 through 11 aren't quite getting it done, 11 through 22 can. So I think there's enough competition and there's more depth to that you can rely on experienced depth, talented depth to carry you through on those Saturdays when things may not be going, you know, quite that well. So I think that's going to be a significant thing. And I think you're going to see a ton of people on the field tomorrow that, you know, maybe making their last appearance, you know, as a Nebraska football player. And maybe this is Matt Rhule's, you know, opportunity to give those guys snaps and say, you know, is this going to be a great fit for us? And is this going to be a great fit for you? And if it's not, you got a lot of tape to take with you wherever it is that you want to go.
Well, yesterday, too, Coach said a lot of stuff about communicating within the crowds, making sure that everybody's comfortable with the crowds, because he highlighted the fact that there's a 66% chance that they start a freshman week one, and how are they going to handle said atmosphere of going on the road and doing everything that's, you know, comes along with Big Ten football. How much do you think the spring game can really emulate that? Because I know a lot of people are going to go regardless. And how important is that, too? Because he also said that he doesn't want to see, you know, people dropping the ball late in the game like he did last year as well. So how can those two areas be affected tomorrow?
Well, I don't think you can replicate it. If the crowd is what it was expected to be now, you know, there's weather possibilities for tomorrow, and there may be some people who just aren't feeling it right now given what's transpired today. So, still, other than Heinrich Harburg at quarterback, I mean, the other two are going to play in front of the biggest crowd they've ever played in front of. But it's still a spring game. As much as Matt Rhule says, I want this to be a game, we're still talking about practice. And it's a show. And as I mentioned on the Average Joe Sports Show, it's a Logo 3 show. They're going to be showcasing the speed of the receivers, the arms of the quarterbacks, and they're going to be, you know, shooting from long range and making a show of it. And that's fine. But it's still going to be the big stage. Nebraska, for those young quarterbacks, the benefit is going to be in the fall, because I think Nebraska's first 12 to 15 games are all at home. I don't know when they go. They don't go on the road till like mid-October or something. So they're going to get acclimated. They're going to get acclimated to big crowds. They're going to get acclimated to an opposing team and the speed of a different team, all of that. So it's not as though they are opening up with a freshman quarterback at Minnesota or at where they play in Ireland. You know, they're opening up at home against Utah. They're going to play their second game at home against an 0-1 Colorado team. They're going to play their third game at Nebraska with a little bit of momentum, and everybody's going to be feeling good. So tomorrow's just, again, it's rehearsal, right? It's going to be, if everything goes through, it'll be a fun day. And again, I take away the gravity of the situation today, just in terms of what's going to take place tomorrow. It's an opportunity for them to do something a little bit different than they have the last month. And I think, look, those guys are mature. Dylan Raiola is, not only is he a special physical athlete, you know, I've met him, you guys have been around him. He's a sharp guy, and he's been coached up by mom and dad, comes from a great family. I don't think the moment is going to be too big for Dylan. And I think we've all been very impressed by Danny Kalen and the way he goes about his business too. So I don't think any moment's going to be really too big for those guys.
Bill, we might keep you for a couple of minutes after this segment. Just get kind of a quick take on some NFL draft wows as well. But my biggest thing tomorrow is I want to see what Harburg looks like. I kind of expect this, right? Not that I'm making decisions or have any insight, but you're right. Dylan's special. I expect him to do normal things at a high level. That's complete third and three or third and four or third and eight out routes at a 70 to 80% clip. I think you've got a good one, okay? I think Danny Kalen will be a guy you see play, but maybe redshirt if he doesn't win the job, right? And we got to say that because there's going to be no decision, presumably, till August. I want to see Harburg because this guy's busted his ass. This guy's put the work in. He was a warrior for you physically, carrying the football. Let's figure out a way to score on offense twice a game. And he did it with his legs more times than not, or the threat of his legs with the deep pass. About 60 seconds here. Harburg in the motion. Can he stay within that new mechanical framework that Coach Thomas has set up for him?
Well, and keep in mind, too, Harburg got beat up last year. Part of it was that he took a licking running the ball a lot because he had to, and part of it was because, you know, he didn't have, you know, the greatest protection in the world. But let's face it, Nebraska has the best tight end playing quarterback in the country. There's no question about it. I think his quarterback skills with a dedicated quarterback coach, they're going to be better, okay? But I still think his greatest value to Nebraska is at the H-back type position where they're going to utilize his athletic ability and be the Swiss Army knife quarterback when called upon. But I think he made huge improvements from his freshman year when everybody forgot about him to what he was able to do last year when Nebraska needed him. He'll be better, and he's had competition too. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any competition last year, let's face it. And most of the turnovers are gone now.
Well, that's the hope if you're a Nebraska fan. You had about 6 to 8 of them last spring game. Bill, hang tight. We'll get some NFL thoughts, NFL draft thoughts here in just a second. All right. Bill Dolman with us. He is in downtown Lincoln to start off the segment. Bill kind of gave us an update about what downtown Lincoln went through with the severe weather that rolled through. Of course, the tornado east of Lincoln around the 3 o'clock hour. And the damage that has been just horrific in Elkhorn and in parts of Omaha. So we'll have some updates with the weather and the aftermath of that as we move forward.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to you, it's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal, Connor Clark. We had some thoughts from Bill Dolman. He carries over some overtime with us for the spring game, and Bill gave us an update on the weather he experienced in downtown Lincoln today on campus. Lots of social media posts, great coverage locally here. Our home station, KFOR, and we're thinking of those in Omaha. Lots of significant damage to the west side of Elkhorn, Nebraska, multiple injuries. As you have recovery and response going on, 218th in Maple Region, 215th in Old Coach Road. And we'll keep you updated. We're thinking of our friends in Omaha and Elkhorn and Gretna, the eastern part of Nebraska. We're thinking of our friends at Garner Industries East in Lincoln is where the tornado went through about 3 o'clock or so. And Cliff checks in. He says his friends on Waverly Road are okay. He was reaching out to some loved ones back here in Nebraska. Bill, you're with us here, and you've laid out just what kind of day it's been, and the afterthought, the aftermath is not going to be about football. It's going to be about Nebraskans helping Nebraskans, first responders, law enforcement, fire department, all those great folks who put others first responding here the next 24 hours.
And, you know, I know there's been some talk as to whether will the spring game be played tomorrow. And I got to believe that the answer is yes. You've got softball, you've got baseball, and you've got Nebraska football. And I certainly don't, you know, it's tough to bring up, you know, the post 9/11 game against Rice. And then you have this with this devastating tornado. But what I'm saying is that when it comes to bringing people together, Nebraska football, Nebraska athletics, you know, has a way of bringing that community I was talking about earlier together. And I think what you might see tomorrow, and I think there's no question about it, there will be an effort from the Nebraska athletic department to, I think, call to arms to Nebraskans to help Nebraskans. Be it, you know, people affected directly in Elkhorn or to first responders in some way, But that's one of the things about this state that is so special, that when it is time to prove what, you know, community is all about, this state from Omaha to Scotts Bluff and Fairbury to Valentine and, you know, all parts in between, people care about each other around here. And yeah, it's in the immediacy. It's in 24 hours. And sure, the weather might be, you know, not great tomorrow. I think you'll see an effort to, you know, bring the state together and see what people can do collectively, probably with dollars, to help out those effective and those who are going to be doing a lot of work over the next several weeks. And that's what's special about this state and this program. That's why, you know, it is so important to people around here, because they do respond in the right way.
One of the things that I'm thinking about today, Bill, is sometimes you have to sit back and say, man, it's just football that they're playing tomorrow. Does it really matter? But then you also have to think back to, like, the nature of what sports is within our society being an escape, the cathartic nature of sports, and that the spring game might be exactly what the people of the state need tomorrow following such a tragic day like today.
Yeah, there'll be a catharsis, perhaps, but it won't be a move on. It'll be move beyond. It'll be what can we do to move and help.
Yeah,
you know, that's what I love about this state. The term community applies nowhere better than the state of Nebraska. And in the aftermath, 24 hours or 2 weeks, as was the case, you know, 24 years ago or so, 23 years ago, it's the community, and it's a way of moving forward together. And that's what I expect tomorrow at all venues.
Well, and Nebraska will reach out and help Nebraskans for sure. Bill, let's get NFL draft thoughts. And I loved it, and I know that everyone's shot arrows at Atlanta, but I love Michael Penix. I hope he has a great career. I think he's an amazing kid. Enjoyed covering him at Big Ten Media Days when he was at Indiana. I know you spent a boatload on Kirk Cousins. He isn't young, but there's been a lot of blowback on Atlanta's decision. But Penix was a surprise. I love Harbaugh picking Joe Alt. I think he's an amazing tackle. Saw a bunch of tackles go in the first round. McCarthy to Minnesota. All Viking fans I talked to did the old Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber dry heave at the top of the mountain.
Schmitty, I told you before we left the single bear yesterday that I liked Bo Nix.
I know.
The Broncos get Bo Nix.
I like Bo Nix, too. And if I'm Minnesota, that's who I take instead of JJ. Watch us all be wrong. We'll burn the tape. But
say it with me, Elijah. You get Bo.
I mean,
I'll tell you this. I was worried about the Broncos and their ineptitude in recent years to take Bo Callahan and not Bo Nix. So I'm with Elijah. I think Bo Nix is maybe the best quarterback selection of the first round. And I think that the Chicago Bears should have been the ones to take Michael Penix. But anyway, that's my opinion, because I'm not exactly sure the Bears got the guy that they needed with the number one pick in the draft. Shall I just say that? I don't think that they got quarterback for the Chicago Bears, because they thought they got the right guy for the Chicago Bears when they drafted Justin Felix. I think that they drafted a celebrity. I don't think they drafted a long-term great NFL quarterback.
Really? You're not in on Williams.
Well, we've missed on quarterbacks literally our entire existence.
If anybody knows how to miss on quarterbacks, it would be the Bears.
It is the Chicago Bears.
I think that they might just be trying to make sure that they maintain that tradition. So good on them.
They want to keep picking high is what you're saying. Bill?
All I'm saying, there's only one quarterback in the draft last night that had a drop-adjusted completion percentage over 80%, and it's Bo Nix. Bo Nix, if you take out all the drops, his completion percentage was over 80%. Now, 90% of those passes were screens and bubbles and whatnot. But hey.
And then think about this, too. With all the quarterbacks that went, and I think that today they're going to announce that they're no longer playing defense in the NFL. So it's just going to be 11 guys on one side. So that's why nobody from the defense is, except for Dallas Turner, got selected. But you notice the top four quarterbacks, or four of the top six quarterbacks that went, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and Michael Penix, all in common, all transferred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so difficult to be thinking about the era of college football that we're in. You know, Drake May played, 3 years in North Carolina, so he didn't stick it even out all 4 years, but at least he was a one-school guy.
Carolina's had a run of three quarterbacks go in the first round, and they've not really panned out.
Yeah.
Mitchell. But
that's the era that we're in.
So, but yay or nay on Penix in Atlanta real quick.
Well, I think it's what, you know, they look at what Green Bay did over the years.
Yeah.
With, you know, and go back to Steve Young and Joe Montana. You know, you've got somebody that can, you know, grow for a couple of seasons under an aging veteran quarterback.
Marvin Rogers.
By the way, he's coming off of an injury. Now, Penix will be 27 if he takes over in 2 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, they look at what Jordan Love did waiting on, for Rogers, and then if called upon, you know, he was able – when called upon, he was able to perform. I tend to think that that has to be what they're thinking.
My problem with how the Falcons approached that draft last night is you just signed a dude for $180 million.
Yeah.
And you
but
said
he's old and he's coming off an Achilles.
And yet you've said in your first draft, hey, well – either way,
by
one,
the way, they didn't tell him.
It's either a mistake to sign him for $180 million if you aren't sure that's a guy you can build yeah. around for 4 years, or it's a mistake to go get yourself a backup plan instead of building around the guy that you just invested $180 million
yeah,
into.
I
go
100%
pick up a defender,
agree.
Trade back a couple spots, and get yourself one of the three or four great cornerbacks they had or edge rushers. It makes no sense to me from the Falcons' point of view to go offensive whenever you just invested $180 million into your offense.
I agree.
Do you think, guys, do you think he graded, do you think Penix, aside from the injuries, do you think he graded, would he have lasted? I mean, if push comes to shove, would Minnesota want Penix over
McCarthy?
McCarthy?
He wouldn't have made it past the Raiders.
Would they want Denver? Would Denver want Penix over Nix?
The Broncos wanted Nix
The Broncos wanted. I think of all the teams that got the guy they wanted,
it's Denver.
I think the Broncos are more sure about Bo Nix than perhaps even the Bears are. They're hoping Caleb Williams is who they think that he is and not the celebrity that he's been made out to be in Los Angeles. I think New England probably likes Drake May, but it's like, what do they have around him? And they got a brand new coach. I mean, there are so many unknowns for May, who might be a great quarterback someplace else down the road, but he's going into a situation that is completely in the unknown. But I think the Broncos did great. I get the Falcons thing. It was a shocker. I thought they were going to go defense and get Turner, but because you have Raheem Morris, right?
Yeah,
he's a defensive coach, but I think
Arthur,
they look at
Arthur
Green
Blank's
Bay.
Clearly like, what the hell did we just do?
You went to Lowe's and bought something? I own home, you know.
Well, Bill, real quick, if you're so out on Williams, I'm really curious to get your thoughts on Odunze with the ninth pick for
him.
The Bears.
I thought that was a great pick.
I think right? In any other year, Odunze would have been the number one wide receiver off the board.
Yeah, I think that was a great pick for Chicago. I just think that Caleb Williams is into the celebrity of being a celebrity as a professional athlete, and that's I think that can be a real detriment.
But what if
right?
he's good? That's the question we ask ourselves.
I don't
every
think
year.
I,
what if he's good?
And eventually, you know, eventually the NFL game is so fast, and eventually they figure you out. And unless you're Lamar Jackson and you've got incredible athletic ability, and you just always stay one step ahead, I'm not sure he's got the video game moves that are going to last in the NFL.
Bill, I'll just say, book it now. The Bears are a wild card team in 2024.
God, I
don't even
right.
think that's a bold prediction. They have weapons everywhere for Caleb Williams. Like, if you talk about an ideal landing spot for a number one quarterback to go into, you have three guys at wide receiver. Keenan
Bears.
Allen has been a number one wide receiver.
Their line's better.
DJ Moore's
ideal landing spot for quarterback.
How about this?
DJ Moore's been a number one wide receiver. Keenan Allen's been a number one wide receiver. Adunze's got number one wide receiver potential. Cole Kmet's a solid tight end. A number one quarterback hasn't walked into a situation like that in a long, long time.
Here's where the Bears are going to get it right finally at quarterback. And our good friend Gary Sharp on the Average Joe Sports Show kind of alluded to this once before. I'm just going to add to it and say, with the first pick of the 2027 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, there it is.
Boom.
Let's
just start it now. Bill, we will see you tomorrow.
Caleb Williams will be off to the Carolina Panthers.
For an eighth round pick.
Yeah.
Bill, no, they're going to stock the Coke machine.
Yeah.
Give me diet, give
soda.
Me caffeine free, give me vanilla. Do it now. Bill, we'll see you tomorrow. At some point between 8 and 10, Bud, at the single barrel for the spring game pregame.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot, and thanks for a little chuckle here on a tough day. But great job by you guys and Motsi, and be safe, everybody.
Bill, appreciate you. There he is, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, the professor. And good to get his perspective today. Matthew checks in. And, yep, we've got the DeBoer connection. That's good. Klausburn will join us next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you. We wind out a Friday. Reminder, we'll be at the Single Barrel tomorrow morning. 9th and P, a pregame show for the spring game. 8 to 10, and that'll be on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Tough day with all the tornadoes and severe weather, and we're thinking of so many folks in Nebraska, Garner Industries at 70th and Cornhusker, three injured, and the folks in Elkhorn and in Omaha, the 218th and Maple region, the 215th and Coach Road region. Send love and thoughts to everyone. And Bill put it perfectly in the 5 o'clock hour about, while football's not life, football can be a situation tomorrow with the spring game where Nebraskans come together. And he put it just perfectly. Nebraskans will come together tomorrow to help other Nebraskans. Guy who helps us laugh at the end of each week is Klausburn. He's imaginary. He wears red. And let's check in with Klaus. Some commentary on the spring game, on the NFL draft. And we don't know where Klaus is off to this weekend. 2 weeks ago, it was NASCAR. Klaus, thanks for spending a few minutes with us here on Hail Varsity. How are you?
Well, thankfully, I'm doing okay. As you mentioned, it's a difficult day to watch all of the pictures and videos and things coming in. I know you fellas down there at the radio station in Lincoln caught some interesting video, and then a friend of mine who lives in Bennington got video of that big one, so definitely keeping everybody in our thoughts and prayers. And if there's ways to donate and help out, there's not a group of people that I would have more faith in to do that than Nebraskans and Nebraska fans. So I imagine there will be some element of that tomorrow, and want to encourage everybody to give what they can, whether it be money or resources or labor. And let's help out our neighbors that have been affected by a really awful thing that unfortunately Mother Nature can unleash on us.
Klaus, are you excited for tomorrow? Well put with the thoughts and the outreach. You know Nebraskans will step up for one another. There's a lot of storylines tomorrow. And what is Klaus looking at?
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see what happens with the quarterbacks. I feel like for the first time in a long time, we've got some pretty solid idea of who our number one might be, but we've got some pretty solid backups as well. And I feel like for the first time in a while, we won't have a bakery in the quarterback room where they're making all kinds of turnovers. So it'll be good to see what comes of that tomorrow on the field.
Klaus, outside of the quarterback position, what do you think the most intriguing position group to follow will be tomorrow?
Well, I think it's probably the wide receiver room as well. We've got some talent there, got some more coming in, and if there's nobody there to catch it, it doesn't matter how good the folks are that are throwing it, so unless we've got another miracle worker out of Tecumseh, I don't think there's any sure bet.
Klaus, as we go to the spring game and things will wind down tomorrow with the NFL draft, you've been following the draft at all? Have you reached out to Kirk Cousins?
Well, I felt bad for Kirk. I saw that the Falcons took a quarterback. That young fella out of Washington. And I thought that was kind of it was Michael Penix they took. Kind of a dick move on their part, but
–
I just said it was great to have a good backup, so I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, that's the worst part of it.
That's so... Yeah, okay.
Oh, man.
How about
the Broncos and Bo
now
Nix?
Now I know I missed a good one. Just based off of you two.
Yeah, we might get fined for that one, Connor. No. You were out of the room, so you're safe.
Oh, good.
Well, the Broncos getting Bo Nix, it was pretty good. They could have drafted any quarterback, I think. They had a room full of plumbers prior to yesterday, so anyone that can fog a mirror and write their name in capital letters would have been good, and Bo isn't that difficult to write, as we've all learned in the last 15 years. So if Sipple can do it, so can this guy, and I think we'll be excited to see what happens in the Mile High City.
Claus, have you ever painted your nails? And will Caleb Williams continue doing that in Chicago?
I don't know that he's going to get away with that in Chicago, but I did see where his rookie contract is going to give him something like $38.5 million over the next 4 years. And since this is something we apparently have to do now since Caitlin Clark, I looked it up, the first pick in the Women's Pro Football League is going to receive I bet 50% of whatever that league's commissioner gets from the Nigerian prince and the keys to an 09 Subaru, which they're not sure where they parked it. So, once again, a disparity in the sport.
I mean, I've been getting a lot of flack. Clausburn for the Bears' lack of picking a good quarterback. Do you think that this, nail polish aside, could be a good maybe stepping stone towards greatness for the Chicago Bears?
Unless they figure out a way to resurrect George Halas and eliminate the forward pass, I don't see a whole lot of success for the Bears regardless, but they got to try something.
You know, people said the same thing about the Bills when they drafted Josh Allen, that, like, they're all, I mean, they still are a step short. I was going to say there'll always be a step short. It doesn't matter who's at quarterback. And, lo and behold, the Bills are still a step short. So maybe you're right.
Well, they keep running into Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce every year. I think they probably feel the same about them as I did Jamel Holloway and Barry Switzer. So I definitely feel the Buffalo fans' pain.
Claus, before we get you out of here, about 60 seconds left. We need a score prediction for tomorrow with the Nebraska spring game. Who you taking? You taking the red? You taking the white? And I guess a score if you'd like.
Well, I'm just glad that I'm going into a weekend where I'm 100% sure the Huskers will win. That hasn't happened a lot for me since probably 2001. So I'll say 17-14, and we'll go with the red because I don't, in these times, want to find myself canceled for cheering for the white. Mm.
Claus always thinking.
Jeez.
Claus, you behave and take care, and thanks for giving us a laugh today, bud.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity, and again, any way that anybody can help, I know we'll do it. So for those affected, our thoughts are with you from all over the country, and we'll look forward to a fun day tomorrow and getting to work helping our neighbor after that.
Absolutely. Claus, you be good, okay, buddy? Thank you.
Okay.
There he goes. Clausburn, imaginary. He wears red. We'll have our predictions for tomorrow. Well, we might wait. Single barrel tomorrow, 8 to 10 a.m.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down a Friday reminder, single barrel tomorrow for Hail Varsity Radio Weekend Edition, 8 to 10. It'll be on the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark.
Are we prepared to say 8-ish?
No, we're going to be on it. We're going to be on at 8 tomorrow morning.
8 or
really?
8:05.
You get an extra 15 minutes and you're going to say 8-ish?
Probably 8:05 after network news.
Yes.
So they're,
so is that officially over the air or is that still just streaming?
I think it's stream, Hail Varsity YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Is where you get it. But I don't know. 8:05 always sounds good.
All right.
It's a hard start.
We'll roll with it.
8:05.
8:05 it is.
Done.
Sweet.
And we are on site, so come see us, 9th and P at the Single Barrel inside the Graduate.
So it was 8-ish after all.
It was awesome to catch up with Brian. He is, I think, planning on seeing us for the weekend edition. He was at Single Barrel yesterday. Just some final thoughts on today's intense and kind of trying day. We will try and pass along any more information we get from what has happened with this severe weather, with the recovery and rescue efforts in the 218th Maple and 218th and Maple region in Elkhorn and the Coach Road region. And, of course, more updates with our friends at Garner Industries on 70th and Cornhusker in Lincoln with three injured. That's the initial report as the roof collapsing due to that tornado. So be there for your fellow Nebraskans and loved ones and just any way you can give. And I don't have a number. I don't have, the Red Cross is always on point with this, but just be there tomorrow and into the future for your fellow Nebraskans with your outreach, with your time, and with your dollars to help, because folks are going through it right now. You've got an entire neighborhood, several, as we've seen some of the pictures sent in. Elijah's had that update in Elkhorn, where it's just awful. It's just flat out awful.
It should be noted, Schmidt, you talked about the Red Cross. The Red Cross has set up an emergency shelter. That's at Arborview Elementary School in Elkhorn. So for any residents up there that may have been affected by this tornado, that is the Red Cross Emergency Shelter. Again, Arborview Elementary School, that is 5115 North 208th Street in Elkhorn.
And, if you're headed to the spring game tomorrow, enjoy what you see, but I'm sure the university and the great folks in the athletic department, Coach Rule and his team, they are going to be thinking of others. They are so community-minded, not just in Lincoln, but just they care about the state as well. So you'll have opportunities to contribute and help out your fellow Nebraskan tomorrow. We hope to see some of you that are in town or making your way here at the Single Barrel tomorrow at 8 a.m. We can't thank the good folks at Single Barrel enough for having us. Programming note, we are supposed to have the Team Jack event tonight. That was supposed to get underway about 20 minutes ago at the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill in La Vista. That has been postponed due to the weather and situation with this severe weather. So check the podcast out, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and as always, subscribe and like the Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Thanks for spending time and tuning in to us. Be safe. Hug your loved ones.
We'll chat tomorrow on what is hopefully a happier day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll get into to the storylines for Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark, Chris Schmidt. See you tomorrow, 8 a.m. at the Single Barrel. Thanks.